Man, the Holy Spirit's in our midst. I'm not surprised by that, are you? How many of y'all glad to know that God got here before we arrived? How many of y'all glad to know that God knows more than we do? How many of you know that God will be in front of us, with us, because He's already set us in motion behind us? He is real. The reason I'm at church today is because God is not a metaphor. He's not a myth. He's not a great story. He's not something that just uniquely adjusts to whichever cultural century we happen to exist in. I'm here today because we worship a living God whose name is Jesus, who died on a cross, who's risen from a grave, and that message is not negotiable. Somebody hear what I'm saying. Because that message is now nothing new, but it's up for debate. Now, they'll call me a Bible-slinging country, not real brilliant guy. I'm not sophisticated, but when I read the Word of God and actually try to wear the Word of God in my life, you know what's so cool? God doesn't call me to be sophisticated. He doesn't call me to be culturally relevant. He doesn't call me to be liked by others. Guess what He calls me to do? To be faithful to His message. And I got some good news. God will take you to heaven, but you won't fit in real well here. God will take you to heaven, but you won't fit in real well right here. You know what? Some of you all fit in too well down here. You shouldn't blend in down here. This is not all there is. How many of y'all believe this? This is not all there is. Anybody up to that point? Hey, I'm in 8 o'clock service. Y'all need to consider this just a little bit, okay? I'm not saying you're old, but I'm saying you got more miles on your odometer than the 11 o'clock service does. How about that? And I'm with you, okay? So don't panic. But there is something beyond this moment, and it's called heaven. And there's something else beyond this moment. It's called hell. This week we had a book released by one of the, I don't know, I can't call this brother a laborer in the gospel. I can call him, he is a rock and roll preacher. He's a rock star is what the media says about him. He's a rock star. He's got the attention of the next generation. You know what I say? So what? Does Jesus have the attention of the next generation? You know what I found out about rock stars? They come and go. How many of y'all found rock stars? How many of y'all been rocking long enough that the rock stars of yesterday are not the rock stars of today? Except the Rolling Stones. and he ain't resurrected. He's the walking dead, baby. I mean, just keep it, you know, I can't get no satisfaction. Old Mick's still grumbling. They're still grinding them out. The rock stars of yesterday are simply that, the rock stars of yesterday. The famous of yesterday are simply that, the famous of yesterday. But there is a current event called Jesus Christ. And you and I, we must pray today and we must honestly seek ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirits, and see if we want to be empowered by the message of Jesus. Or do we want to have Jesus on the side, making sure that we're okay with the Jesus folks and also we blend in real well with all the other folks? We are a risen testimony that Jesus has been brought to life. And so, church, I'm going to encourage you today in Acts 2. Go there right now. Acts 2. I'm going to turn to my Bible via technology, not because I want to be cool, but because I want to see every word of it. Isn't it neat? I mean, hey, you know, you get there one way or the other. I've always been kind of like, I don't like all that technology. I'm glad all the young folk got it. So what does God do? He shortens my eyesight. And so now I'm between two different dilemmas, my vanity or technology. See, God will win. Amen? How many of y'all find out God will win? Well, let's pray, and I want you to open your hearts and minds today, and I want to let you know if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're fully filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to start there today. You're fully filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today, I'm not going to ask you to receive, if you're a believer, what you've already received. You see, I think that's where the devil's lied to the believers.
We got a lot of you who believers, some of you have been chasing around conferences waiting to receive what you've already received. Now, if I was the devil, I'd lie to you. How many of you, if you was the devil, you'd lie to somebody? Billy Lowe, the devil lies. Do you understand that? So if I was the devil, you know what I'd tell you? I would make sure you would never know what you had, so you would chase what you think you could not receive. Because if you ever realize what you have in Christ, guess what you just might do? Release it. You might release it. Acts 2 is about releasing the power of God. Releasing it. Now, we in the church, in America, what do we want to do all the time? Receive, 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 receive. Andy, you ever heard this? You grew up down there in Arkansas, down and over, and across the river, the big one. Did you ever hear some sister say this in that Baptist church down there in Arkansas? I don't know about that preacher. My cup is not getting filled. How many of y'all here ever heard about that cup? I mean, you went to church somewhere and they had a cup. These people would always say, man, the Sunday school teacher ain't filling my cup. You know what? This ain't filling my cup, which is a metaphor for this. It's Mick Jagger's. I'm not getting any satisfaction. And so I'm going to ask you about something. Is life about your satisfaction or is it about God's faithfulness in you? Those are two questions to let spin today. Is life about my personal satisfaction or is life about Jesus' faithfulness in me?
Are those two different deals? How many of y'all realize God has saved you with purpose and he has released you with purpose? And one of those purposes, now this is going to be tough. You ready? It's going to blow people away today. Did you realize that Jesus Christ did not die so that you would feel better? I know some of y'all are holding on. You see, some of y'all, that is unbelievable. You mean Jesus Christ didn't mount a cross and shed real blood so that I might feel better about myself? That's a pretty, I mean, you might as well get you one of them plastic Jesuses and put up on your dashboard. You know what I mean? It's pretty shallow, isn't it? And a black Elvis poster to go with that for your bedroom, you know? No. Jesus Christ, when he died, he released humanity of their sin. See, why are you going back over this? Because apparently we don't get it. Because apparently this week I had to listen to someone who's got a great voice who's beginning to shy away from the blood on a cross. That's in the United States of America right here in the 21st century. I knew this day was coming. Because you know what? You can only get so shallow before you walk out of the water. Y'all think about that. The more you walk to another shore, what happens to the water? It gets shallow. And then it gets real shallow. And then when you get right on the edge, and guess what's in shallow water? Scum. Bugs you've never thought of. Have y'all noticed that? You get over the edge of the lake and you don't want to stay there very long. It's warm. You go out there in the deep water, it's cool. And guess what lives in the deep water? The big stuff. You know what lives in shallow water? Tadpoles. Y'all ever gone to a restaurant and say, I'd like some seasoned tadpole, please? Have y'all ever ordered seasoned tadpole? No, that's not where the good food is. You got to get out to where God is calling you to be. Now, here's the good news, Sarge. God wants you to be there, and he's given you the power to be there, and he's given us a command to go live there. So it's time to move on. Amen? Go with me to Acts 2. They were obedient to God. We've learned that. God has a mission. Go tell the world, right? Let's go a quick review. Let's pray before we do that. See, devil don't want me to pray today. I almost forgot. You ready? We're going to pray. If you don't mind, just put your hand on somebody's shoulder or hold their hand for a second. We're in this thing together, guys. I love it. If you're a guest today and you don't know Jesus Christ, by the way, we want you to be saved. We're very upfront about that. We're a church that does believe there's a real literal hell. There's one. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going there. If that offends you, get saved today.
We have a very loving God because he's released a message so that you don't have to go reside there. Pretending there is not a hell will not take away the curse of hell. That's just like pretending you're not a sinner doesn't make you not a sinner. Have you all noticed that? This is not the little train that goes, I think I can. This is the real world. Let's pray. Lord, give us insight, give us knowledge, give us wisdom. Jesus, today release our church. Lord, you know where we are. We're right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. But more important than that, we're in you. We're with you. We're about you. So Jesus, I pray today that as this Sunday releases at least maybe another 20 years, that we will be fervent to the cross and the resurrection. We will not shy away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you implant that in each one of our minds. First of all, Jesus, I want to confess that I'm a sinner. And the only way that I can preach this gospel is because you went to a cross. The only way that I can say a word is that you came out of the grave. Lord, there is nothing in me worthy of proclaiming except you. Lord, I have failed you over and over again, but yet you have forgiven over and over again. So God, I just wanted to state today, I know who I am, and that is only a sinner saved by grace in Jesus Christ. And Lord, those aren't words made for a country song. Those are your words of Scripture. And so, Lord, may we embrace them, live in them, and be loved by you today. Amen. All right. First of all, I want to start here. God's got the power. Look at your neighbor and tell them that this is going to be a move. This is an interactive sermon today. Okay. So I want you to talk to each other. If you need to, in order, ask me a question. I want you to ask a question. Because guess what? Today we're on this. This is the foundation of what the Hillview Heights Church is built on right here, is Acts 2. In 1987, I'll give you just a quick synopsis. In 1987, I knew that I was called to preach. Elizabeth had married a crazy man. We weren't sure what was going on in our lives in 1987. Somehow or another, I had managed for them to give me a piece of paper from Western Kentucky University that said I had completed the assignments that were required for them to no longer take my money. And I was standing there in May going, I've graduated. I knew that another organization and institution had picked me up and they wanted some more money, and that was called seminary. And I was heading there and they were going to teach me the great things of God, Nathan. I was married. I wasn't sure how to do that. I was a youth pastor, associate minister of a church, and I was frustrated with the church. I came to the point in 1987, if church was what I saw, I had to tell God I couldn't do this to my retirement. I'm going to be really honest where I was. If church is about coming and singing a few songs and hearing a Jesus story and walking out and being unchanged, then I'm just going to go to the lake. If church is about making a few behavioral moral adjustments and, you know, being nice and polite to each other, then I'm going to go play golf. If church is only about shaking hands and fellowshipping and eating chicken dinners and that's all it's about, then I'm going to go on vacation. I saw a lot of that. Y'all ever been just seen a part of that? People that don't like church, they talk to me and they find out real quick I don't like it either. But then as I grew up, I learned what I wanted. I don't like church that's not in the Bible. Now I got a better definition. I don't like church that's not in the Bible. Does that make sense? I've come to love the church that Jesus loves. Make sense? But Jesus won't love a false church. And here's how you get into being a false church. You start loving yourself, your organization, your methods, and your things more than Jesus. Makes sense? Now, I want to show you something. We start out, God has a purpose. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the what? To the ends of the earth. Okay? And then secondly, what do we learn? They order it up. They get their order together. They call the 12th disciple gets in there. If you notice, Alan, the 12th disciple's not a big deal, is it? Because the big deal's coming. Now, listen. I don't tell you that to make you feel bad about yourself. I tell you that to get to reality. Release God and quit thinking about what you and I are not the kingdom. But here's the good news. You and I get to follow, live, and be a part of the kingdom of God. We're not it. Go ahead and tell your neighbor that because we're confused about that in our world today. Just go ahead and tell them, we're not it. Come on, talk it up a minute. We're in Acts 2. We're not it. Now, here's the good news. God is.
Now let's get to the good news. God is and wants to be in us. Y'all see the motion? God is everything. He wants to be in you. That's radical. That's out of this world. That is more than amazing. That God is everything and He wants to be in us. What do you think about that, Randall? God has been in your life before you knew you were you. That blows my little mind. What about you? Blows my mind. Jones, God knew you before you knew you. God knew you before your wife knew you. And God knew you needed her, and He gave her to you. Amen. He loved you so much, He said, I can't watch this boy be screwed up. Here, have a good wife. God loves us. Sir, God knew that wild horse before you knew that wild horse. Y'all understand who God is now? He is beyond what we hear and we see. And He enters into us. They got to start there. Now, release the power. Y'all got this motion today. Release the power of God in your life. Well, what am I going to release it to? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the... I was looking over this sermon. I mean, this is a text I've been in all my life. In Japan, we need to keep praying for Japan. How many of y'all praying for Japan? Man. And I praise God for the discipline of the Japanese people, don't you? Mm-hmm. I've stood amazed. They're going through four major crises and nobody's taking anything. Reckon there's a difference between Japan and the United States of America? We hauled out half a city on one flood. Why? I'm going to show you. We think the world's about us. We think it's about me. I'm going to teach you all how to listen. Up in Wisconsin, we got people going crazy because they're not getting what? Not getting what I want. So if I don't get what I want, what do? I get me some picket signs up, my bus to everybody. Watch this. We got a group of people, we're out of money, and they're still demanding what they want. Because what? They want it. A lot of them is because they didn't come up. I grew up with this. When I demanded what I want, I was reminded that I didn't always get what I want. We didn't have time in or time out back in the 60s. We had reckoning with God. With Mom. By the way, there was a lower prison rate back then. I wonder if time out equals time in. I don't know. We'll see. One day somebody's going to confront you with the truth. Somewhere in your journey, amen? Now listen, let's look at this Jesus. Where does He take us? Where does He take us? Elizabeth, my Bible won't come on. There we go. Y'all will turn your Bibles on. Turn your Bibles on and let me help you. More than anything else, I hope your Bibles turn you on. Light you up and illuminate you to the world. Acts 2, okay? Now, this, if you want to follow God, apparently y'all have a desire to follow God. I'm making some giant assumptions here, but here's what I know. Y'all want to follow God enough that you got up early this morning and came to church. Amen. Now, here's this just the way I live my life. You can live yours the way God chooses to lead you. But I believe talk is cheap and action speak. So I don't listen to a lot of people. A lot of people just talk stuff. I don't care what their title is. Watch what they do, and they'll tell you who they are. That's why a lot of y'all get suckered by flowery rhetoric. Just people stand up, give you a slogan, and you just Pied Piper on in. You don't ask, can you do anything? What's that got to do with it? How many of y'all realize you gotta do more than sound like you can do something? That's in all of life. I can tell real quick if a car salesman doesn't know anything about the car, can't y'all? Because they start telling me how good I'm going to look in it. I'm a pot-bellied 40-year-old man. I ain't going to look good in nothing. You put me in a fancy sports car and all that says, an old man trying to be young. See what I'm saying? I say, Pastor, you've had a couple cool-looking cars like that. I said, like I said, an old man trying to be young.
I like fast cars. What's that got to do with anything? Nothing. Because it's about releasing the power of what? God. Are you going to do it? Let's look at Acts 2. They got together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were. We're going to look at some very serious things here in the scripture. Stay with me today. They were together in one place. They were together in one place. Now I'm going to move quickly today, but listen, you got to get together in one place. Church, I'm calling on you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave the trinketed behaviors behind. This is not a time of culture. And there's a lot of you in this room that need to grow the heaven up. Y'all thought I was going to lose it. I knew exactly what I was saying. No, we need to grow the heaven up. See, we don't live in the heaven that God has placed us in. They were together in what? One place. Eric, if you and I don't have the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're out of place. Ben, we're out of place. Andrew, we're out of place. How many times have you young pastors heard, boys, I understand this, this is good, but the cross and the resurrection better be the center of it. Now, I don't look so stupid, do I? But I remember when Andrew came here, you know, I mean, he'd been taught Bible all of his life. I mean, he grew up in a Southern Baptist crib and he just shaking his head. He'd go, why is Ayers always talking about the cross and the resurrection? Well, you know now, Andrew, after this week, eventually there'll become a time in life where they will no longer listen to sound doctrine, but they will stray away to hear what they want to hear. I'd love to hear this message. No matter what you do, you're going to heaven no matter what. Wouldn't you? I mean, it's a great message. It works at Disney. It brings in a lot more money. People would really like to read a book I published that said, you know what? Just live your life, and as long as you're ooey-gooey, eventually it's going to wash out and you're going to be okay. I mean, this is what we try to say at the funeral home when we know a human being's lost. Because instinctively, God's put us in an instinctive ability in us. We know there's trouble. Which is today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you know there's something that's drawing you to understand this gospel message. We got to stay in the place. And that place for them was the room, but it was empowered by the cross and the resurrection. Let me show you where I'm going. Without Jesus dying and without Jesus living, Pastor Mark, there would have been no upper room. You can't get in place unless you know Jesus. They were there together in what? One place. Now, when you get together in one place, you need to realize God will just unexpectedly appear. God doesn't move on our time. God moves suddenly sometimes. Amen? And suddenly a sound came. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were what? You know what? I want you all to begin to pray in this church. We need to hear the sound. We need to hear the sound. Not our sound, but whose sound? God. Now, where did the sound come from? Nathan, where did the sound come from? Heaven. How many of y'all are so busy listening to the earth station that you can't hear from heaven? Do we have so many channels that the one place we never tune into is who? God. Do we have so many things entertaining us? I mean, we got important shows to watch like Dr. Phil, He'll Guide Our Lives. Ball-headed dude driving a Ferrari. It's got more merit than a risen Savior. You see, Acts 2 is about Jesus. It's not about the house, and it's not about the sound. It's about the Christ. Now, what some people have done with this, they have made the experience of Acts 2, Lord. It's not about the experience. It's about the what? Grow up. Be heavenward. Listen to the what? I'm y'all glad to know God will speak. Suddenly He'll come. The whole house was filled with who? It was filled with God. And guess what? There was a wind. It sounded like a thunder. Power. Something of heaven was going on. The blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. How many of y'all have ever heard a blowing violent wind? You live in Kentucky. We'll get some more. We're coming up on April. What happens in April? Well, we can get some tornadoes, wind shears. How many of y'all have ever had one of that? Now, we in Kentucky are a little weird. How many of y'all have ever gone on your front porch or your back porch and watched it? Yep. Yeah, we do. Some of us are storm junkies. We'll be out there going, oh, gosh, that whole tree in the backyard's being lifted up. Then we'll hear the story. Three people killed on the front porch, hit by a giant elm that flew by them. Well, what were they doing? They were sitting there watching God pull up trees in their backyard. Yeah, I mean, this violent wind, what does that wind show us? There's the power beyond us. The week ago, Friday night, y'all know I like to watch the news, and I was sitting there, and I was about ready to go to bed. I was going to be good. I was going to go to sleep, and I knew the world needed me for just one more second, and I flipped back up to the news channel, and all of a sudden, here was this tsunami. Me and a few other people, because it came late our time. It was afternoon their time. And I watched the power of that, and I said, mercy me. As arrogant as we are.
Well, we've engineered our buildings. We've got this secured. We got this sound.
But you know, they even sent a builder inspector over there before they put. You know what? And this is what amazed me. In a matter of seconds, everything we built was gone.
Now, we don't like to look at that. Because then we become what? Subject to the power of God.
God's power is real. And it falls in this room. And it's pushed in this room. Because guess what? We can't get the mission done unless God fills the house. Now God's filled this house. What he's waiting for is us taking the mission out and releasing it. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. What were these tongues of fire? On each of them. That's what I want you to underline. Each of them. Now, some of y'all have Baptist phobic, and you're automatically going to go, what were these tongues of fire? Is an empowering of voice. And we're going to see it's very practical. This is not mystical. It's not hooey-dooey. It's not a speaking in tongues conference. It's not even about speaking in tongues. We've had some parts of Christianity that have taken this verse and built whole denominations on it. Watch this. I want you to have a tongue, the tongue of Jesus Christ. Can you speak that he died on the cross? Can you testify that he's risen from the grave? Do you know that he's entered into your life and saved you of all your sin? And you can stand and say, even though I was a sinner, the grace of God has set me free. Can you speak in that tongue? This wasn't mystical. This is God being very purposeful in culture. He fills them with his power, the sound of a violent wind, and then what seems to be tongues of fire. Note how the scripture says that. They're not even sure what's going on, but God is releasing in them, empowering in them, purposing in them his what?
Spirit.
And you get the Spirit of God, nobody can stop you. Let your neighbor know that. When you get the Spirit of God, nobody can stop you. Well, about four of y'all going to be stopped. About three of y'all going to go on. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all were here when the baptisms broke out here a few Sundays ago? Nobody could have stopped that. See, that's of God. You can't be stopped when you're of God. Well, I'm going to show you something. When you see people, they get mad at church and they leave a church, you know why? Because they wasn't doing it for God in the first place. Amen. Listen how they leave. Well, I'm not satisfied. Well, I didn't get this. Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings. Let me help you. If you can't get by so-and-so hurting your feelings, man, what kind of cross you about? I'm talking about a Jesus that shed real blood for my miserable existence. And I'm worried about somebody bumping into my feelings and not making me feel good for a second on this earth. Man, I tell you what, that's pretty puny in my estimation. Amen. Do I have an amen on that? It's time to grow up toward heaven. Yes. Time to grow up in the church. If you hurt my feelings, so what? God's resurrection continues on. God's Holy Spirit keeps coming. By the way, Pastor Eric, did God ask permission to come? Did he check with the First Room Conference Convention Center to see if he could come that day? Do you reckon they paid the Holy Spirit to show up? Alan, is this about fanfare or is this about purpose? Purpose. No fanfare. Watch this. You know what brought the power of God on? Obedience. Write that down. Obedience. Not marketing. Obedience. Not a gathering. Obedience. He was where he told them to be. They were in that one place. And look what happens here. God enables them. Note this. It fell on each of them. It fell on each of them. This is where I want to go today. It fell on what?
Each of them.
Not some of them. Each of them. Because you know why? Peter's not the only guy that preached that day. We always lift up the guy with the big mouth. He empowered each of them to witness. Not some. Each. Now look what happened. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the what? Spirit enabled them. So who enabled them to do this? The Spirit. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Who was there?
Everybody.
Everybody. You can look at the list that gathered. People from diapposing opinions were there. People from different experiences were what?
There.
How many of y'all glad to know God's a God of all people?
Hallelujah.
He didn't give this to some. He's releasing it to who?
All.
There it is. You want to get rid of your ethnic prejudice? Follow Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only guy I know that does all. Everybody else does some. Jesus Christ, the only person I know that does all. I'll tell you right now, quote me. If Dr. King had been a Muslim, what you see that has happened in this culture today and a lot of the release would have never happened. Everybody forgets to talk about old Dr. King. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. He was empowered by the cross and the resurrection. He was not about race. He was about Christ.
Amen.
That's why his message was heard. That's real.
Amen. It is.
See, we always leave out the story. If Jesus is in the story, we leave it out. In fact, Jesus is the story. Look what he did. He empowered them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being what? Let's talk about tongues. Acts 2 tongues was about what? God communicating clearly. It wasn't a spirit. They didn't walk out and go, oh, I got it now because I can speak in another language. The other language was to communicate the gospel. See, only a bunch of absolutely, totally self-focused Americans would make Acts 2 about an individual experience.
Amen.
Look at the word. Not what you want it to say, what it says. It fell on each one of them. Everybody special. Not some special. Everybody that submitted was special. And why did it fall? So everyone could clearly hear the what. And what happened to the crowd? They were bewildered. Now, church, let me give you a heads up here. Have you noticed how the crowd was more bewildered with those who gathered, Chase, than the people in the upper room being amazed at the what? Crowd. The 120 didn't go back and say, gee, we're really going to have Pentecost today. Everybody showed up. You know, you didn't have Peter coming back in and saying, boys, this is going to be a good one. I tell you what, it looked like we got over 5,000 people out there. They didn't have, like, you know, Mark Matthew coming in and saying, boy, I tell you what, man, it's going to be a great God stock out here in Jerusalem today. It looks like it's filled to the edges of the city. Watch this. They didn't look at the crowd. They looked at the who? Christ. That's the battle. It's in ministry. It's in everything we do. Crowd or Christ? Crowd or Christ? Crowd or Christ? You say, well, how do you know that? I've read a Bible. Mark, when they got ready to crucify Jesus, what did Pilate ask the crowd? Barabbas
or who? Jesus. Here's what I want you to know, and I know this is going to smite at some of you who believe if 51% of us agree with it, then it must be truth. That's not true. How many of y'all realize that we're fully capable of 51% of us being wrong? I used to laugh at Southern Baptist Convention. I got in trouble too. We used to have these pink cards. You'd go to Southern Baptist Convention. I was a young preacher. They'd take me in there and they'd train me how to be a Baptist. They'd give me these pink cards. And we'd be voting on an issue. We'd raise our pink card up. Well, I started laughing, like, what's God going to do? Change his mind if 51% of the Southern Baptists say, hey, I tell you what, we're not going to do this, Lord. Does that change God's purpose? Absolutely not. We don't change God's purpose. Notice, God changes the crowd, not the crowd changes God. See, I wish our churches would bewilder a few more crowds. I wish at Hillview they'd come, the crowd would come out. I wish they would ask this question. I wish they'd have to set up an intoxication location right out of this church to see what's the matter with us. Sometimes I don't think we're bewildered enough by what God's done. How many of y'all came in here today praying, dear God, do everything that we release everything that you're capable of today in our church? Or did you say, God, help air shut up by 8:10 or 9:10 so that I can go get me a donut at Shoney's or whatever? You can't go to Shoney's anymore, so y'all been sneaking out of Bible study so much going to Shoney's, God closed it. Not going to Bible study, Jeff, has an economic effect on this city. You better get there to Bible study. Look here. Y'all been fun today. When they heard this sound, what happened? They were amazed and they asked, who are these speaking? Are they Galileans? Now, Timmy, no offense, but this would be like a group of people from Richardsville speaking in Washington, D.C. Who would they? They'd go, who are these Kentuckians? I mean, can you imagine Wolf Blitzer? We have a group of hillbillies up on the hill today. When I go to Washington, D.C., you know what? I don't feel sophisticated. I am a hillbilly with hope. And I don't pretend to be who I'm not. When I get around sophisticated people that don't know how to talk like we do, I don't try to talk like they do. I'm not impressed with their snobbish type of tone. I say, how you boys doing? If you are boys, whatever you are, how are you? I can't figure some of them out. It's a dilemma for a hillbilly with hope, amen? How many of y'all okay being a hillbilly with hope? Or you may be a Yankee. Just be with hope. It doesn't matter where you're from. It's where you're from. Are you from the cross and resurrection? Location's irrelevant, but empowerment is everything. They're from Galilee. I mean, at least they're good at their geography. These are Galileans. You know what they were really saying? These folks should not talk like that. They're amazed. What happens? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? How's this happening? Well, let's answer the question. How's this happening? Spirit. Let me tell you what happens, guys. If we release the power of God, you have the power of God. That's not my challenge to you today. It's release the power of God. I'm tired of sitting here. Alan, how many sermons have you heard on receiving the power of God? Thousands? Okay, then when are we going to release it? You know what we like to do? We like to sit in the huddle and jump up and down. Coach Cox, can you imagine doing this? Just everybody huddling up out in the middle of the field and we all going, tell you what, it's going to be a great game, going to be a great game. I'm going to tell you what, you guys are capable of having a great game. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great game. And we sit there for four quarters doing that. Jack, you going to win if that's what you do? That's what we've done in the church. We have power seminars, power Bible studies, power worship, power this, power that, how to get your power, how to use your power, how to help your neighbor get some power. But what do we never do? Release it. What happens when you release this power? Everything changes. In fact, I'm going to challenge you all today. May the Lord Jesus Christ perplex somebody in your life this week. May they look at you. Carrie, may they look at you and go, how does she love me like that? Jesus. How many of y'all got a marriage that's perplexing other than me?
See, I love being married to Elizabeth because people look at me and they go, how did that happen? Jesus. See, there's the testimony. It's believable. How many of y'all have a life where it's believable that Jesus saved you? Amen. Not just the Bible. You just don't quote me a verse. You live me one. When you open the reference, it's here. See, it's hard to deny when you're a Galilean speaking in the power of God in the midst of public. People go, I don't know how they're doing that. They're speaking and I'm hearing them. I'm hearing an understandable word. And we'll find out what that word was. It was a very clear word. It was the word of the cross. It was the word of the resurrection. It was the word that changed everything. Not just in their culture, but in all cultures. Let's finish up. Well, I hope we'll get perplexed. He speaks to them. Go with me. You ready? Verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? You know what's amazing? That word went out in the majority of places that are in upheaval right now. If you look at verse 10, just as notes, it said it went out to Egypt and parts of Libya. Right now where we are. And that word needs to go out again. They ask, what does this mean? Well, guess what? When you have a power experience of God, guess what some people are going to do? Now, this is where the tension will come. You say, well, how long has this been going on? A long time. Since the beginning day of the church. Some, however, did what? Made fun of them. How many of y'all have ever been made fun of? Oh, I have. I get it all the time, especially from real sophisticates. They don't like it that I got the same alphabets in front of my name that they do. I just know what mine are. Alphabets. It's about all they mean is alphabets. They're alphabets. See, it bothers some people that got alphabets. Well, I worked real hard for that. So? My mechanic works real hard, too. My trash collector works real hard, too. It ain't about alphabets in front of your name. It's about God in your heart. I was asked, why do you have alphabets in front of your name? So I can quote Paul. I consider it all rubbish compared to the what? Understanding of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. How many of y'all understand what we have will not hold up to what God is? We need some readjustment. We need some release. I hope you've heard some things today. It's not about being smart. It's about being faithful. It's not about being cute. It's about being committed. It's not about being relevant. It's about being empowered. It's not about the crowd changing you. It's about you speaking truth into the crowd, and Jesus has to take it from there. What amazed the people? They made fun of them. Guess what they even said? Can you imagine this? Yeah, they've had too much wine. Wonder when they've said that about our church. Huh? These people are so filled with God, Mark, that it appears to us that they've had what? Too much wine. The new wine. Y'all ever had to drink a new wine? I'm not talking about something you get on a roadside vineyard somewhere on I-65. I'm talking about new wine. New wine. That Jesus Christ has forgiven you of all your sin. Think about that for a minute. We say that, it's almost become a bumper sticker to us, but all of our sin is forgiven in Jesus Christ. He shed his precious blood for us so that he was glorifying the Father. But guess what? God didn't, his act of salvation was so that people could be released. He didn't die for whales. It's people. Man, embrace that. That we might live. Now we got to receive this message, be empowered by this message, and what's today? Release this message. Some of you may have never received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I got good news. You don't have to go home out of heaven today. Isn't that great? If you've never asked Christ in your life, let me give you the good message. I hope you've heard it today. You got to realize you've sinned. You say, Pastor, what's that? That means you broke the Ten Commandments. Any of y'all ever done that? The reason I get other people to raise their hand about the Ten Commandments is this reason. You know, Coach, some people come to church and think people in the church are perfect. Now, you should have lived long enough now that you're over that illusion. Don, you're over that illusion, aren't you? Now, here's why I want to help you, because some people come to church and they say, well, I know so-and-so in the church and they're a hypocrite. Come see me. I'll give you a whole list. In fact, everybody in this room is a hypocrite in some way. Amen? How many of y'all found that to be true? So here's what the devil does. You come to church and you're really supposed to get healed by Jesus Christ, and you'll look across the room and you'll see somebody you've been disgruntled with about something, and they go, well, if they go to church, I don't want any part of it. Here's what I hope you've heard today. Human beings can't save other human beings. So you notice I hadn't asked you if you liked anybody today. I've asked you, have you heard that Jesus Christ loves you? And Bugsy, it's only Jesus that can save you. I mean, Timmy's your buddy, but he can't be your savior. I've seen him shoot. He don't hit all the time. I don't either. Larry, you don't either. How many of y'all hit all the time? How many of y'all do it right all the time? I don't either. I don't either. But I know who does. Who's his name? Jesus. So here's what you got to do. Say, how in the world do I receive this great salvation of God so I can release it? How do I receive it? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. How many of y'all are that far along? According to this generation, doesn't like to hear that, do they? They don't. I mean, people get mad at me. Well, who are you to judge me? I'm not. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. What do you want me to do? Lie to you? What do y'all want me to stand up here and go, considering that some of you all get offended, I'm just going to make up a new gospel. Jesus loves you no matter what you do. Is that true?
No.
Jesus loves you. But it matters what you do. Like if you reject Jesus, there's a serious consequence for that. And if you receive Jesus, there's a heavenly consequence for that. Yeah. Pastor Ayers, I'm a good person. Oh, Lord have mercy. How many zillion times have I heard? I'll hear it next week. I was at the funeral home. Guess what I started hearing? It's always at the funeral home. Do you notice how in Bowling Green, Warren County, everybody that dies is a good person? I've known some of those people. That's not true. But when they're dead, if somehow or another, magically, all their scoundrel behavior falls off of them. Have you noticed that? You know why? Intuitively, you know they're facing judgment. Well, if you really cared about them, why wouldn't you tell them the source to heaven while they're here instead of trying to pull them out of the grave when it's too late? There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. And you know what he says? He forgives sinners. Anybody qualified? Anybody need to hear that? He forgives what? So you know what you do? You come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I know you're real. And Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I need you to come into my life and I need you to forgive me of my sin. I want to receive you today. Guess what Jesus will do? He'll receive you. Jesus loves sinners. Is that clear today? How many of y'all have learned something today? Did God get his message across today? I don't know. I may have been all over the page today. And if I communicated poorly today, I'm sorry. But I hope that the Holy Spirit has taken some nuggets of this and empowered them in your believing hearts and said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And I love you guys to tell you the truth. You say, well, I don't like you. You join a long list of many people. And I want you to know that I sleep like a baby every night. If it was about you, I'd have quit pastoring a long time ago. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's tough. It's hard. We've lost some people at Hillview because it's about Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tim, I can't believe you say it's not about my feelings.
Right?
Pastor Tim, I can't believe you say you don't like people.
What do you want me to do, lie? Even you sweet people got people you don't like. Here's what I want you to do, though. Let's step into God's world. We got to love people.
So let's stand up and let God show us what it means to love.
It's a great opportunity. Pastor Mark, I don't know if we get this opportunity next Sunday. You know, some people got some iPhones and some computers, and some of y'all even still carry a calendar. We got a bunch of dates on these devices, don't we? We got a bunch of things lined out this week. You know what, Chase? I bet they had some plans on Saturday morning, didn't they, in Japan? But a tsunami interrupted those plans. In fact, changed them forever, Andrew. That's real. I'm just telling you the real. I mean, I have everybody all the time, but let's get real. Let's do it.
Is your schedule depend on God's power being released in your life, or does it depend on what you want? Today, Jesus Christ would love to save anybody in this auditorium and say, hey, you know, I've read the book. He desires to save all of us. The tongues of fire came to reach on each of them so that the crowd could be changed. Now, come on, church. Let's have an altar today. Some of y'all need to pray that the fire get out of you. Some of you need to pray that your fire reawaken. How many of y'all, I got one of those little gas fire things, fireplaces I like. You don't have to chop wood for it. And you push a button and it lights up. But you can turn it on low or you can turn it on high. How many of y'all got your flames on low trying to conserve your gas? Well, guess what? Open them up. God, I want to do everything you want me to do. You do that, that's called a full and abundant life. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this place because you inhabit it. Lord, we're in one place called the altar. So, Lord, I pray we need some wind, and it's got to come from you. And we need some fire that can only come from you. So, Lord, today at this altar, we are available. So, Lord, would you empower us to tell the world? If you don't know or have not received Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Lord Jesus, come into me. If you know you've received Jesus Christ and you need to be obedient in baptism, maybe it's time to come and let's really talk about that and let God lock that into you. Come on, guys. The altar's moving today. You've heard about what it means to get in one place. I pray in the name of Jesus, he break any chain of fear in here. And we come today and really get serious with God. Really get serious with God that we awaken as a church to just be released in all he wants us to be. Amen. This altar's open. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.